Radharas Sudanidhi, which was written by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. And I meant to read a little bit about the author, but I can read about the book maybe tomorrow. I forgot the other book. This book, Radharas Sudanidhi, has 272 verses in the book and describes all about the Radharas Sudanidhi. Nidhi means many things, nidhi, but it means, in this case, it means ocean or treasure house. And Radharas Sudha means nectar. And Ras means mellow or sacred rapture. Radharas Sudanidhi, the ocean of nectarine mellows of Radharani. It's all about Radharani's beauty, her moods, her different aspects of her personality. So what we thought to do, we thought to present this class in by citing different verses from Radharas Sudanidhi that describe Radharani's Rup, Gun, and Leela. Her Naam, her Rup, her Gun, and her Leela. Because first we approach the Lord and His devotees through Naam as our first introduction with the Lord, as the name of the Lord. And then with the name is chanted without offenses, then we can experience the Rup of the Lord, the form of the Lord in the holy name. And then the qualities, and ultimately the pastimes themselves. When we chant on the level of bhava, then the pastimes will come in the name. They themselves, we don't have to look at a book and memorize the pastimes and try to think about them when we're chanting actual pastimes, because the name is not different. So when we chant the holy name, then we can be with the, enter the pastimes. It's called Leela Pravesh. So I've written a brief introduction to this book. The Radharas Sudanidhi is the longest and most popular prayer to Srimati Radharani. It's recited by all different classes of Vaishnavas and Vaishnava Sampradaya, especially the Nimbarkis, Nimbarki Sampradaya. They worship Radha and Krishna. They also recite. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, of course. Especially in Vrindavan. All the different Vaishnava Sampradayas in Vrindavan, they recite this prayer. The entire text of 272 verses is inscribed in marble slabs on the walls of Sevakunj in Vrindavan. You go in Sevakunj, it's kind of a small area now, but if you walk around the Parikrama there, on the wall there's one area where there's lots of places, but one area there's all these marble squares, and the shlokas are there written in Radharas Sudanidhi. The contents of Radharas Sudanidhi are quite secret and confidential. They are meant to be relished by the inner circle of Braj worshippers. In verse 258, Prabodhananda Saraswati, the author of Radharas Sudanidhi, says, "The attainment of the nectar of eternal service to Sri Radhika is the most far-reaching goal of spiritual life of the superintelligent." In other words, if someone has very good intelligence, they will understand that The topmost attainment in spiritual life is to become a servant of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. It's such a valuable position that even the Lord Himself, God Himself, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, He comes to this world to experience the nectar of service at Radharani's feet. What does it mean to be Radharani? So he becomes Lord Chaitanya to experience her seva, her moods of seva, the happiness she feels by serving Krishna, and this mood. Thus, this book, Radharas Sudanidhi, is to be revered and worshipped only by the most sincere and serious worshippers of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, in Braj. Acharyas say that Radharas Sudanidhi is actually a complementary book to an earlier book written by Bilvamangala Thakur. Bilvamangala Thakur wrote a classic book called Krishna Karnamrita, which is nectar for the ears, Karnamrita, all about Krishna. So these are complementary books, because this book, Radharas Sudanidhi, is about Radharani. And Krishna Karanamrita is about Krishna. So Radha and Krishna are always together as we worship them together. So the book itself, Radharas Sudhanidhi, is Radharani. Because Radharani, what is Radharani? She is name, form, nam, rup, gun, lila, everything there, form. So this book is also Radharani, and Krishna Karanamrita is Krishna, Krishna Sarup. The book Krishna Karanamrita is Krishna Sarup, and the book Radharas Sudhanidhi is Radharani Sarup, her personal form. So we in Gaudiya Sampradaya, we don't worship Krishna by himself. Sometimes you go in people's houses and they have a singular deity of Krishna, or some people, they have deities of only Radharani. I've seen someplace, in one place in Sevakunj, he has only Radharani deity. But what our acharyas have given us is the worship of Radha Krishna Yuga. Devyad Rindaranya Kapaju Madat Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Devo Preshta Alivi Sevimana Smarami. That Radha Govinda Devo, that these two, Radha Govinda Yuga, this pair, Yuga Kishore, Yuga means pair, or together, joined. We worship them together, Radha with Krishna, always. And we chant the mantra of Radha and Krishna together, always. Hare Krishna mantra is Radha and Krishna together. So when the acharyas are saying that best, if one wants to make a personal study, if you would read Krishna Karanamrita along with Radha Rasa Sudhanidhi. And that way, when you'd actually be worshipping Radha and Krishna together. So that's why they say it's complementary. Ideally, one should study both books, Radha Rasa Sudhanidhi and Krishna Karanamrita together. That's ideally. But we're not doing it. We're not going ideally. Because we have some particular idea here in this class. And the idea of this class is that this is Purushottam month. Adhikamas, extra month. And this is the month of Purushottam Krishna. He says that I am this month. Krishna says all my powers, potencies, everything I've imbued are placed into this month. So this is a very special month. It's Krishna, it's Sakshat Krishna, directly Krishna. So we want to act in such a way to please Krishna by increasing our devotions, our prayers, our chanting, our bhajan, because this is his month and he's very happy if anyone does increase of chanting and meditation in this month. So Krishna, of course, we have to think, if we want to please someone, then we should give that person what he wants that will please him, not we give him what we want. If we're cooking for someone, we don't cook what we want and say, oh, here, I've made something very nice, you try it. That's not really pleasing, because we cooked what we want, and it's very good, and we cooked very nicely. And we say, here, you try it. But that's not really love in the topmost way. Better we find out, firstly, what does that person like to eat? And then with all attention and devotion and care, TLC, as they say, tender, loving care, we prepare that food and then we offer it to Krishna. Then we invite him for prasad. And then the person will become so pleased. This is my favorite sabji. This is my favorite. How did you know? Oh, I called, I inquired from so-and-so and I found out this and that. Oh, I'm very pleased. I'm very, very happy. It's not only very tasty, but I can understand there's so much love you put here just to make these things for Krishna. So this is the idea of devotion. Anukalyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Uttama. The Uttam Bhakti is fixed and faceted on the idea of pleasing Krishna, giving him the best thing, which will make him the most happy. And there's nothing that makes Krishna more happy than Radharani. Nothing and no one. She's not a thing, she's a person. And everything she does makes him happy. Her dancing, her singing, her speaking, her walking, her talking. Everything she does gives the topmost pleasure to Krishna. Maha Anandita, as he read in Bengali. Maha Anandita. Not only Anand, but Maha Anand. Because it's Seva Anand. Her Seva is the topmost, so she gives the most bliss to Krishna. She even, in Nanti Leela, has explained that Radharani prays to such an extreme extent that she says, oh my Lord, oh my Gopinath, oh my Prananath, if you find pleasure in making me unhappy, if making me unhappy or gives you happiness, then that distress or that unhappiness that I undergo is my greatest source of happiness. In other words, if smashing me makes you happy, well, smash me all the time. This is very inconceivable meditation. So therefore, there's nothing that makes Krishna happier than Radharani. So our idea was that if we, during this month of Purushottam, if we glorify Radharani, the Nam Rup Gun and Leela of Radharani, then Krishna will become so happy. That will make Krishna so pleased during his Purushottam month, his personal month. He'll shower his blessings, especially shower his blessings, because he's in such a good mood. When you make someone happy or please them, they become in a good mood, happy mood. And when someone's in a good mood, they're very much in it. They like to give, and it's a good time to ask for a donation. That's what wives do. They cook very nicely for their husbands, and husband's in a good mood, and they say, "Oh, by the way, I need some money." And he's in a good mood. He says, "Yeah, take it, take whatever you want." But you certainly don't ask when someone's in a bad mood. Someone's angry and upset. And, "Oh, nothing's going right at work today, and like, someone banged my car, and this and that, and it was a terrible day." And it's, "Oh, can I have some money?" "Oh, no! Forget it." So timing is everything. Timing is everything. So in the time, Kaladesha Patra, time, place, and person. So when Krishna's in a good mood, it's a good time. It's a good time when Krishna's in a good mood to ask for something. "Oh, hey Bhagavan, Kripa Kuru. Please, all I want is your mercy. All I want is your lotus feet on my head. All I want is your eternal service. Nothing more, nothing less." So we want to, what they say in colloquial terms, butter him up. Butter him up. We want to grease him up. We want to make Krishna pleased. So by, he said, "Oh, they're sitting hearing about the glories of Radharani? Well, I want to come also there and listen." So this is our mind idea why we're not doing Krishna Karnamrita. Krishna Karnamrita we can do in Kartik. Or at least someday when we have some Adhikar to discuss such a book. Or at least we could, if someone else did discuss it, we could read their commentaries. But either book we had no Adhikar to discuss, but fools rush in where angels dare not. But in the attempt not to dive into a very deep and confidential scripture, but actually our attempt is innocent. Our attempt is simply to please Krishna and to make him happy. And we're not very expert at that or very competent at that. But we know that he loves this book, Radharasa Vinidhi. And he loves Radharani more than anything. So that's our idea. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the direct incarnation of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And Radharas Sudanidhi is accepted as the direct incarnation of Sri Radha. Radharas Sudanidhi ki?
Jai.
Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad ki?
Jai.
Radharas Sudanidhi is a desire-fulfilling tree, Kalpavriksha, capable of giving one the highest gifts. In Bhajan Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which we discuss in Kartik, Bhajan Rahasya, he quotes 7 shlokas to prove the supremacy of Radha Dasyam. Radha Dasyam is a term which means the eternal loving service of Sri Radha's divine lotus feet. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote, "By reading Radharas Sudanidhi, one experiences a transcendental happiness that has nothing at all to do with the happiness of reading an ordinary book." Full stop. Because if we just say, makes you happy to read this book, then people will say, "Well, if I read a novel, mystery novel or romance novel, I also feel happy. I feel intrigued or compelled and absorbed. If I read a documentary or a historical book about the war or whatever I may read, whoever that I is, they may say, "Oh, it makes me feel happy." But he's differentiating here. It's transcendental happiness that has nothing to do with the happiness. So, and then this is just a short description of the format of the class, which I briefly mentioned. So we'll discuss the verses of Radharas Sudanidhi, describing Srimati Radhika's sweeter-than-sweet divine name, form, qualities, pastimes, and service. In this order, first we'll discuss about her name, Radha Nam, then about her form, her qualities, her pastimes, and then her service, because that's actually the culmination of hearing. When you hear, then you want to serve. If there's no hearing, there's no knowledge. Without any knowledge, there can't be any desire. Without any desire, there's no action. You only act upon your desires. So we hear about, that's why we read Bhagavad Gita, we hear about the philosophy, then we get knowledge about Krishna consciousness, what it is, or what is Bhakti Yoga. And by understanding something about the goal and the sadhya, then we may develop a desire. On the basis of that knowledge, we may develop a desire. Yes, this is for me. I may accept it. Yes, I want this. This type of practice, or this type of goal of life, or this type of attainment is attractive to me, it's interesting to me, it's captivating to me. And then once the knowledge is there, then desire is there, then we come to a more affirmed position of desire. It's called resolution. In Sanskrit, it's called sankalp. We become very firm in our desire and very focused in our desire and say, yes, I want this. I want to love God. I want to attain the loving service of Krishna or Radha. And then that becomes a sankalpa, a very firm resolution or desire. Then we ask questions. Well, how does one accomplish that? How does one attain that? How does one fulfill such a desire? Then he makes further inquiry, and then he finds that, well, there's this path of bhakti and vaidhi sadhana and raganuga sadhana, at least a bhava bhakti and prema. And then we begin. Desire, knowledge, manana. Manana means contemplation, consideration, and then desire, then increasing desire, strengthening desire, making desire more firm, then action, activity, sadhana, and then progress, then realization, then attaining knowledge, attaining ruchi. And this is how it goes. So the premise, the sadhya of Radharasa Sudaniti, what it leads to, what the book leads to, is Radhadasyam, the service of Srimati Radharani, the service of her lotus feet, which is generally, we say, Mandri Bhav. Well, that Bhav, that's the Bhav, that's the heart. Bhav is a feeling, a mood of love or a feeling behind the action. So first we have to develop the Bhav, the feelings, and then that's the undercurrent or the foundation is the Bhav, Gopi Bhav, Mandri Bhav, and then there's action. If you have feelings for someone, then you'll act. If there's no feelings, why will you act? So that's why the cultivation of Bhav is, that's why it's called Bhava Bhakti. Because sadhana, the practice of sadhana, Vaidhi and Raganuga, is meant in that, even in the preliminary stages, firstly we're doing purification so we can remove all the non-Krishna Bhavas. We have so many Bhavs that it's called Kam Bhav. The generic term is called Kam Bhav. The Bhav, or the desire of feeling for enjoyment, material enjoyment, Kam, lust. Material enjoyment is called Kam Bhav. So the Kam Bhav is gradually diluted and transformed and washed away by Seva Bhav, replaced by Seva Bhav. The desire, the feeling for service, feeling for serving Guru and Krishna, and the desire to serve, and the actual service of Guru and Krishna. And that deepens the Bhav, deepens the feelings, deepens the mood. And then that's the foundation of that Seva Bhav by which Gopi Bhav or Sakya Bhav or Vatsalya Bhav, the mood of loving Krishna as a mother or a friend or as a conjugal mood of love as a Sakhi Manjari. So that's the conclusion. These descriptions of Radharani's name and her form and her qualities and her pastimes, it deepens the Bhav, the feelings, the knowledge, the understanding, the feelings. And then, with that Bhav, then we want to express that feeling. When we have so much love for someone, we want to express it. That's why people embrace or they kiss or whatever. Their physical feelings between man and woman, their feelings are rising to such an extent they can't contain them within their body. Just within themselves, they want to somehow express those by touch, by speaking, by embracing, or union, ultimately by union. So, this, in bhakti, this bhav, this also we want union. That's the culmination of bhakti bhav, is union. What is prem? Prem is union. Prema Lingata, the embrace of the Lord. Lila means pastimes. Lila comes from li, alingata, and la, lelo, or la, to accept the embrace, lila. So prem lila means to accept the embrace. You embrace Krishna heart to heart. Your everything is God. Everything is Krishna. So this final point, when we develop our Radha Bhav, is Radha Dasyam. It can't be Dasyam, it can't be servitude without Bhav. A mother has Bhav, she has so much Bhav and love and feelings for her children. So she does so much service. On the strength of that Bhav, she serves 24 hours a day, isn't it? He has a young child, so he knows. He sees his life in action. 24 hours a day, taking care of the child. That's due to Bhav. She has this Vatsalya Bhav, this affection, this mood of a mother towards a child. Of course, that some samskaras are also there, previous samskaras for that, impressions and inclinations due to previous lifetimes. So we may not have so many bhakti samskaras from previous life. We have some. We wouldn't all be gathered here in Radhakund if we didn't have samskaras from our last life. So we're all here in Purushottam month hearing these glories of Srimati Radharani. So gradually we'll progress from hearing the glories and power of Radha's holy name, then the beauty and unlimited attraction of Radha's transcendental spiritual form. Then we will together relish and study Radharani's exquisite divine qualities and her pastimes. We'll conclude the course with verses describing the service of Radharani, Radha Dasyam, the attainment of and engaging in the eternal service of Sri Radha's lotus feet. And then I already said that this part. Since Purushottam month is Krishna, all his personal potencies are compressed within this month. Purushottam month is Krishna, Purna Bhagavan. Sri Krishna becomes most pleased and satisfied when someone praises and serves his pure devotees. That includes our guru. We each have our gurus. And so when we praise our guru or gurus and serve them nicely without any false ego, or not too much false ego, not any, then we would be pure devotees, then Krishna becomes very pleased. By hearing and chanting about the glories of Srimati Radharani, Krishna's purest, most perfect devotee, Krishna will become very, very happy. It is said, if you want to please Radha, then chant Krishna's holy names. And if you want to please Sri Krishna, you should chant Radha's holy names. Therefore, we should try to constantly hear and chant the Radha Krishna Yuga Mantra, which is otherwise called the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that's the introduction. Now, we want to begin. We have about 15 minutes. Is there any question about the introduction, about the book that we're attempting to discuss? This is about Radharani's holy name. There's some discussion. Srila Prabhupada, he says that, in one quotation, he said, we're not boycotting means protesting against or going against. We're not boycotting the gopis. Rather, we worship the gopis. And one devotee asked, Srila Prabhupada, in kirtan, can we chant the name of Radharani? Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe. Radha Rani ki Jai, Maharani ki Jai. Radha Rani ki Jai, Maharani ki Jai. Bolo Barsane Wali ki Jai, Jai, Jai. Bolo Barsane Wali ki Jai, Jai, Jai. Radha Rani ki Jai, Maharani ki Jai. Radha Rani ki Jai, Maharani ki Jai. Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe. Radha Rani ki Jai. So they asked Prabhupada this question, if we can chant Radharani's name in kirtan. And Prabhupada said, yes, you can do. Although generally it's not done, although generally it is not done by the acharyas, but you can do time to time. So, and then there's so many nice quotes where Prabhupada's speaking about Radharani. He's saying in Vrindavan, when you go to Vrindavan, this is when Prabhupada was in New York in the early days. He said, yes, I have come from Vrindavan. If you go to Vrindavan, you will find that everywhere in Vrindavan, everyone is chanting Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radhe. Radhe Radhe. Jaya Radhe. Especially then, now less, because in those days, Vrindavan meant Brijvasis. 1960s, when Prabhupada lived in Vrindavan, there were only Brijvasis. There were no Bengali rickshawwalas. There were some Bengalis, also Bengalis, but they're all doing their devotions. There was no shop. There was hardly any shops anywhere. All the shops were only owned by some Agrawals, Mathuravasis, Brijvasis, some Agrawals. And there were some, you know, few rickshaws, very few. Only down in Loy Bazaar you can get a rickshaw. There was nothing. So everywhere, because we came 30 years ago, first time to Vrindavan, and everyone was saying, Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And I've lived here for 20 years, and I was visiting every year for 10 years. I've seen big change. Now you can get in a rickshaw, you can go from ISKCON all the way down to Loy Bazaar, it's a half hour ride. You won't hear one time, Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe. You can't find. And you can't find peacocks, you can't find parrots, you can find lots of dogs and pigs, and you can't find Radharani's name. You see it on the wall everywhere. You didn't see that 30 years ago. Everywhere the name is written on the wall. You see it painted on the wall, Radhe Radhe, chant Radhe Radhe. You've seen so many times written on the walls. But it used to be written on the walls of everyone's heart. It was coming out of their mouth, Radhe Radhe, Jai Radhe, Prabhu Jai Radhe, yes, Jai Radhe. That was the most valuable contribution that I collected by my yatra to India in 1977, when of course Prabhupada was here, and we got to see him and hear from him. But aside from that rare, greatest of all treasures to associate with Srila Prabhupada, the second great treasure we got was the holy name of Radharani. There's so much in the atmosphere. And it was had a very enchanting quality to that name. And I remember when I would hear, especially the children, when they would say Radhe Radhe, because there's certain innocence and certain purity in children by nature. And now it's a lot of kids will say, because ISKCON is so influential, which is good in one sense, and it is good. But now young people and people, they say Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. Even the young Brijvasis, if you see them and you go somewhere, they'll say Hare Krishna. They'll see you and say Hare Krishna. We've won them over to our side. They become Hare Krishnas and they chant Hare Krishna, which is great. It's a victory for Prabhupada. But no more Radhe Radhe. And if we say to them, we say Radhe Radhe, they say, no, Hare Krishna. We say Radhe Radhe to a Brijvasi, you'll say Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. What is Radhe Radhe? So, but in this time, 500 years ago, when Prabhupada Saraswati was doing his bhajan on the banks of Yamuna, right behind Kaliyadaha, where that Kadamba tree, Kali Kadamba is there, or the branches over there. Of course, that was the branch that Krishna jumped off. And of course, the tree is sinking due to separation, but that branch was so many, I don't know, three coconut trees high or something. It was like 200 feet high, that branch. Each coconut tree is 90 feet. It's called Teen Tala. Tala, Tala, coconut tree, Tala. So it was like 270 feet or something. Krishna jumped off that branch. Now that branch is, you can touch it. It goes like this, right? So that behind there is a bhajan kutir, and now the samadhi of Prabhupada and the Saraswati. Very prominent and famous place. So he was doing bhajan there and other places. I don't know where he wrote this book. Maybe there. So 500 years ago when he was writing this, then the name of Radharani was so much prominent in Vrindavan. Because this is Radha Dham. Sri Dham Vrindavan. It's called Sri Dham Vrindavan. Sri Dham. The home. Dham means the home. Where your heart is. Home is where the heart is. So Dham means that home which is full of heart. Heartly home. Heartly home is called Dham. So this is Sri Dham. This is the heartly home of Radha. Shri means Sri Radha. And Vrindavan means, it's a forest. There's so many forests there. Shridam Vrindavan. So 500 years ago, the leaves were chanting Radhe, Radhe. The animals, everyone, the peacocks, everyone, Radhe, Radhe. Everyone's chanting Radhe, Radhe. So that's when he could write these descriptions in this verse 95. Yes, japa sakradeva gokula pater akashakastat shanad yatcha premavatam samasta purushartheshu spuretu chata yan namankita mantra japana parapritya svayam madhava Sri Krishna pitad adbutam spuratu me radeti varna dvayam. Radeti varna dvayam. Varna dvaya means two syllables. Varna means syllables. We say syllable. Ha, re. Ha, re means do varna. Ra, da. Ra, da. This translation. May the two wonderful syllables, he says, adbhuta. Adbhutam, spurato, means spurti, manifest. May the two wonderful syllables, radha, then immediately attract the Lord of Gokul, Sri Krishna. After even one single utterance, nam ankita mantra japan, that makes these two syllables makes all goals of human life seem futile when love is developed for these two syllables. And that mark, these two syllables mark the mantra that is lovingly repeated by Lord Madhav. Become manifest to me. So he's praying to the name, Nam, Radha Nam. It's called Radha Nam, Radha Rup, Radha Gun, Radha Leela. Prabhudananda Saraswati, who is Tunga Vidya Sakhi, according to Radha Krishna, Ganesh Deepika. And Tunga Vidya, or at least in his sadhaka group, is Prabhudananda Saraswati, he's saying, may these two syllables, I'm praying to these two syllables, I'm praying to Ra and Dha, Radha. I'm praying to Radha, the name. May they become manifest to me. Then he's saying that immediately, Japad Sakrid, Sakrid means immediately, Gokulpati, Akarshakas, Karshan, Karshan means attracting. We say Krishna, Krishna means Karshan, means attracting. It says, Tat Shanat, Shanat means immediately. Immediately, Akarshan, Gokulpati. Gokulapati means the Lord of Gokul. He becomes attracted if you simply say Radha, 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 Radha. He becomes attracted. Tat prema tvam samasta purush arteshu spuret tuchata. Tuchata, it's an interesting word in Sanskrit. Tuchata means like tuchavat. It means insignificant. Like we say tu, like something, what do you think it is? Oh, tu, tu. He says, oh, if someone they give you something bad smelling, you say, oh, tu, ta. Toot, toot, you even say like toot, toot, make a sound. So this Sanskrit word tuchavat, tuchavat means insignificant. I mean, you reject it, you throw it out. Oh, tuchavat. So it says, purush arta. Arta means, like we say, dharam, art, kam, moksha. Art means valuable object. What is valuable? To purusha means people, human beings. Purush. Purush arteshu. Spurate. Spurate means manifest or vision or spurti, darshan. So those goals, those valuable things, people think it's very valuable to get money or get position or fame or physical comfort or sense enjoyment. Or even to go to swarga, swarga mukti, to go to heavenly planets. They think this is very valuable. But, and if that would manifest, if that would come to them, if they would get that, if I just get some money, people say, oh, if I would just get $1 million, get my hands on $1 million, I would do this and that and this and that. And if I would just become the temple president or whatever, you know, get my hands on the money also, fly to India every year, and you know, temple presidents usually have a good hands on the money. So he's saying this is tuchavad. All these things are tuchavad. If someone actually tastes the nectar of these two syllables, purush arteshu spurat tucha namankita, he said all the goals of human life seem futile, seem insignificant. Tucha, total insignificant. When we develop love for Radha Nam, that mark, And this, and it says, this mantra is repeatedly uttered by Madhav. Priti. Mantra japan para pritya swayam Madhav. Because Madhav is also a name for Lord Vishnu. There are 24 incarnations of Vishnu. And each one has the weapons, or you can say the symbols in different hands. Gada, Shank, Padma, and Chakra. Chakra is the fourth one. So one form of Vishnu that, depending on the positioning of these astras or symbols, one's called Damodara, one's called Govinda, one's called Madhav. But then that Madhav is also a name for Krishna. So here it's saying that this mantra jap, we also do mantra jap, we're chanting japa, we chant Hare Krishna mantra jap, and Krishna is also chanting. This is an amazing revelation. I mean, it's a very amazing thing. Of course, you know all this, so it's kind of old news. But to think about it, because generally people chant japa, mantra japa to get something. If someone's worshipping a devata or demigod, then they may perform Purush Charan Brat. They'll chant so many lakhs of that name of that demigod or devata to get some spurti or some blessing. And they chant, in other words, you chant mantra jap to get something. You want to get some benefit. In our case, we're chanting also, we want to get something. We want to get rid of all the bad things in our heart. We want to purify our hearts and attain the mercy of Krishna. And this is the way to do it. This is what it's told. This is bhakti. It's based on chanting a holy name. So, but the surprising thing is the person who has everything. I mean, Krishna has everything. He's not lacking anything. But he himself is also chanting japa. He's Sarvaishvaryapurna. He has everything. All the vibhutis and wealth and opulence and followers and position. He's got everything that everybody wants. But he's also doing mantra jap. Namankita mantra japan para pritya swayam marava. And he's chanting with love. Priti. Priti nam. Priti means love. Great affection, he's chanting this name. So what is that? Why is Bhagavan chanting Radha, Radha, Radha? Because he's hoping to attain something by that. If I chant Radha's name, then I will attain Radha. I will attain her association, her sangha. She will become my sangini, my associate. My sangini. So this is an amazing thing, that he's lovingly chanting this mantra. So this, he's pointing out how much power is in this two syllables, Radha. You chant Radha, you'll forget about Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. You chant Radha, then you'll be following the footsteps of God. God himself is chanting Radha, Radha, Radha. But sometimes people say, why are you chanting Radha, Radha? This is bogus. Of course, Hare, we're chanting Hare. So many Radhas every time we chant the Maha Mantra. How many Radhas? Eight, no? Eight Radhas. Because Radha has eight major forms. Astasakhis are all Radha. Lalita is Radha. Vishakha is Radha. So the Astasakhis are in the Maha Mantra. Right? Hare Krishna. One Hare for Radha, one Hare for... Because the Astasakhis are on two levels. One is Radharani's Astasakhis, then the other level is the primary Astasakhis. Of all the Sakhis, there are eight are primary. One is Chandravali, then Radharani, then Lita Vishaka, Shamala, Shaivya, Padma, and Chitra maybe. There's eight. These are the primary Sakhis. Some are in Chandravali's camp, and some are in Radharani's camp. But when we chant the Maha Mantra, all those Hare's, they're Radharani and seven other Sakhis. One's missing. Or maybe she's amalgamated with some other one.